Hello, everyone, and welcome to GFG Tonight. How are you doing? We are operating on a 64 gigs of RAM computer. I just installed it today. It is really great. Let me show you the new RAM that I've bought. I was on 16 gigs. I initially thought I was on 8 gigs, but after looking at the old RAM sticks, I was on 16 gigs. And now I am on 64. I had bought this computer as a very cheap, quick replacement that I could quickly get at the Best Buy. It was on sales, so it wasn't a super perfectly equipped computer, but I knew that RAM, SSD disks are easy to replace and improve. So I just bought something that I found had a satisfying CPU, and I knew that the rest would have to be equipped progressively. I bought the Vengeance 16 gig sticks, four of them. And oh my God, does it feel good? Because that was really the bottleneck of my computer. I just run too many programs at the same time. I have a lot of Google Chrome tabs opened. And just my Google Chrome being open during the day takes between 6 and 7 gigs. To be fully efficient. And so I was starting with, I was around 90% occupation of my RAM sometimes. And that was way too much. It slows down the computer. And just having more memory is, you can feel that the computer is breathing much more. I can run however many programs I like to. It's all working. DK Shadow says, I remember when RAM sticks comes in 4 to 8 megs. Yes, I remember this time. Isn't it fascinating? We are in the gig domain. We'll soon be talking about terabytes of RAM. And there were times where I have pinned 4 megs of RAM, 8 megs of RAM totally. Villains Through Modern Eyes says, Jeff, my sales team loved your response to sales tactics a while back. When I have a deal that we can't close and I ask what happened, I have a guy that says, well, you know, the moment of truth is always the moment of insemination. Okay, but was it sales techniques that I was talking about? because I remember talking about insemination, but in the dating field. Did I talk about the moment of insemination as part of a sales tactic? Now, that would be what I call a hard sell. But I guess it's possible, you know, just sexually harass your customers until they buy your product. But yeah, you'll have to remind me, are you talking about insemination as part of dating, the moment of truth, or are you just paraphrasing me into the sales world? And there, the moment of truth would be what? The moment of purchase, I guess. That would totally make sense. Yes, absolutely. As a salesman, you certainly don't want to believe anything of the kind, oh yeah, I'll buy it later. That is worth nothing in the sales domain. So there it is, the confirmation. Installed physical memory, 64 gigs. I was scared for a moment because I had the beep of death. I tried rebooting my computer. I was confident. I was like, hey, I'm knowledgeable in computers. I clicked those RAM in. I felt each of the clicks. There's no reason for me to check first, so I'm going to reconnect the whole computer. I reconnect the whole computer to all the wires, and I start it, and it's like, beep! And I'm like, oh, don't tell me I broke something in the motherboard. But because I had to pull strong on the graphic video card. You know how these video cards, at this point, they are screwed at different places of the motherboard. It's no more these cards that are just standing at the back. It's this whole, it's like a spaceship GPUs at this point. A whole spaceship. It has screws here. It has screws here. It has a pin that forces it in air. So there's 3 points of anchor on a graphic video card these days. And I was trying to put it off, but the one in the middle was super hard to unclick. And so I was scared I had cracked my motherboard. But then I reopened the computer, I clicked the RAM very well, pushed stronger on them, and the beep had disappeared. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, did you learn? Did you listen to Elon warn Joe Rogan that AI could be programmed for the destruction of humanity? I didn't. I've seen the clip that you sent me, but I was so busy today with the, well, first these changes, and I had other things to do. So I will watch it when I get a chance. It's interesting. Apparently, Elon was making the case that extreme environmentalist, extinctionist, as he calls it. Now, I've criticized Elon for this word because the extinctionists will not succeed. If they were truly extinctionists, they wouldn't succeed. You won't kill all of humanity. You could carpet bomb the whole of the planet with nuclear bombs and you would still have some people survive. What we should care about is anti-whiteism, because that is happening, and this can succeed. This can succeed, this conversion of the whole planet Earth to the service of other people, that definitely can happen, because that's just one tribe winning against another. Making the human species disappear as a whole is a whole other project. And it's more complicated than people make it to be. Elon Musk is excited to announce that SpaceX Starlink has achieved break-even cash flow. Excellent work by a great team. Starlink is also now a majority of all active satellites and will have launched a majority of all satellites cumulatively from Earth by next year. Well, I'm I'm half happy about this. First, SpaceX appears to be making money or wanting to make money from draining money from the state in the form of contracts. I don't like it. So the success of SpaceX is kind of framing itself and is slowly becoming an arm of the American government, and that's a problem. I'm happy that Elon is successful in his business venture, but I'm not happy that this will be done with tax money eventually. I hope that he finds ways to self-sustain. And on top of it, putting that much satellites, I'm not super enthusiastic about it. Putting that much matter into orbit on planet Earth, I don't know that we want this. I don't know that we need this. I don't know that this can ever achieve the kind of performance we need for a good internet. Sense of Progress says some humanity will survive, but who would make the Jaffa cakes? Exactly, who? Saturn Shine says if they kill off humans, all of the animals in factory farms will starve. That is true. The genocide of humanity may very well coincide with the genocide of the species who have developed a dependence onto our existence. Adzabadza says, should Starlink... What the fuck are you doing here with such a nickname? Adzabadza? Are you serious? Are you coming from the latest... Israeli wire coverage? Or is that just a nickname that you use on the internet? He says, should Starlink increase value of crypto, considering that it adds an extra layer of resilience to it? It doesn't really. It really doesn't. There's no way Starlink would survive a broken internet. Starlink relies on the internet working to begin with, and there is no reason to believe that it increases the value of crypto. Crypto is doing perfectly fine without Starlink, and the only place where Starlink and crypto can have kind of a nonlinear effects together is considering the fact that there are There are places in the world where energy is readily available, and yet there are no wires that get there. So if you're in an isolated place of the earth, like on a volcano where nothing is built, so you don't quite have the budget to kind of build a wire system that would bring your communications on an internet line. And perhaps you can produce energy locally and mine Bitcoin and do it through Starlink. That is the only case, the only special situation in which the two go apparently hand in hand together. But that is, I don't expect this to be a major contributor to the crypto world. Stephen Robinson says, what do you make of the renewed threat to crypto from quantum computing? I don't care about quantum computing. It's all bullshit. There's no threat. Even if there was a threat, it would take about 8 hours for Bitcoin programmers to fix Bitcoin so that it's quantum resilient. It is some of the most ridiculous claims, the world of quantum computing. You have developed a computer that makes errors. That's what you've done. Yeah, you've developed a computer that that doesn't do what a computer does best, which is not make errors. Bravo, you've discovered something. I'm sure it's good in academic circles, but there is no application that will be available from quantum computing other than studying the field of quantum errors. And oh my God, be impressed. Oh my God, it said 2 + 2 = 5 and 7 at the same time. Oh, how subtle. Oh, so rich. Oh. That will be the outcome of quantum computing 40 years down the line. Mark my words. It's going to be the biggest scam. Like, people are going to make jokes about quantum computing and how people spent millions and billions of dollars onto it. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, some streamers like you and Patrick Casey use real backgrounds in their presentations. Others, like iHypocrite, use green screens. I can't imagine which you prefer, but why? I honestly feel extremely cheap when I see these videos of people who are blue screening or green screening themselves. The contour is just poorly done, inevitably. And even when it's well done, it's kind of disgusting. It feels artificial. It feels that the person is in another world. And to me, it's very important. I'm a man of the physical world. And it's very important to not be deceptive to begin with. Like, imagine, I'm going to talk to you about the news. You're going to trust what I say for the next hour. You don't have to trust it blindly. But you kind of come here with a general feeling that I'm going to give you reliable material, and yet I'm throwing cheap CGI, as DK Shadow calls it, cheap CGI right in your eyes as you click on my video. I think it's pathetic, and I think you have to use your childhood experience of, you know, making collage and tweaking stuff and building stuff and build something that represents you. This represents me. It's all gray, no emotion, logs in case we need to heat the home. You know, why not double your background into a survivalist potential recycled purpose? That is what I did here. You have wood. You have the BAM wood, which is a beautiful 2x4, more than 2x4, a little thicker than this. And so I worked hard to, and then the integration of this TV, let me tell you, is quite the headache. To have a TV that kind of stands in a wall, which is not a wall, which is really not solid. It's like, how do you get the TV to stand there? Well, you have to build a whole stand table It has to stand on the table. Now you have to make sure that it's pressed forward so that it always stays as close as possible to your wall. So you need some piece of wood that comes to push it from the back. You need the stand to be quite solid, because if you do this with lightweight wood, it's going to fall. So use your creativity and your bricolage and constructor knowledge and do the best you can. You don't have to do it as complex as this, which this is a full coverage of a full wall. And it has angles to it, and it stands on planks on the ground that hold the thing together. You don't have to be as complex as this. You can work from an already existing wall, decorate it, do something with it. Apple slides after revenues drop for the fourth straight quarter. Unexpectedly weak guidance. December quarter revenue to be about the same as last year, which is effectively a 5% miss relative to Wall Street estimates for the December quarter. It's possible that we may be seeing the end of this overestimated company. To me, Apple has never been a company of solid innovation. Okay, when they invented the Apple iPhone, that was kind of a good move. But other than this, they have never really been impressive to me in their offering. It's always overpriced. It's always subscription-based. It's always reliant on massive financial exploitation of anyone who deals with these platforms. And I can't believe that they survive, but they survive in a world where the people with the most money don't give a shit, and they are wasteful in their decision making. But in the world of savings, in the world of the recession, and in the world of Bitcoin, I don't think there's as much of a place for apples. John Drake says Apple was jobs down since his death. Yeah, perhaps this whole scammy approach of Apple ultimately relied on the personality of Steve Jobs, and without him, they will just be seen as useless scammer. Stephen Robinson says, JF, did you see that Binance has published an article on their platform educating their users how to purchase HEX? CZ and Richard Hart fucked the SEC. Is that true? That surprises me of Binance. Binance, how to purchase X. How to buy X guide, Binance. Okay. That looks like something. Oh my God. You almost sent me to a virus, my friend. They're all fake links, but they were displayed as truly genuine Binance. There's no legitimate Binance link, but I see that you have been fooled by links that are not genuine Binance links. Let me tell you, don't click on this stuff, Steven. You're going to lose all of your crypto. You're going to lose all of your HEX. In fact, you're kind of lucky to be such an HEX artist, because if your wallet ever gets hacked, the lucky thing is there's a chance that the hacker won't think about checking the HEX content of your wallet. There's a chance you will get hacked, but they will leave the HEX. Because hackers, you know, they have to act quick. Sometimes they use robots and everything, and they won't think about going to check your HEX stake, you know? because they will think, oh, if there's any gas left in this wallet, I'm draining it now. I don't have time to unstake and pay the hex penalty and all. But yeah, Steven Robinson, be careful on what you click. The three first links I've seen on pre-search are all frauds. All right, what else do we have? Traders buy Middle East crude at premiums amid rising geopolitical risk. That is one of the dimensions we should expect from the current conflict. One of the effects of conflicts is the rise of the stock market part of the military industrial complex. Then the rise of oil, because oil becomes more uncertain, or there is lots of purchase of oil related to the war effort. So be careful with the impacts on the economy. Although, as far as Bitcoin is concerned, I expect Bitcoin to continue on its ride. I don't think much can affect the coming bull run. You cannot undo the coming bull run. Dead Star sends a super chat. Someone is telling me that maybe there's a super chat problem. But no, I see it. Or was the super chat problem affecting another user? Silver X. Super chat's not working for me. Can't proceed after clicking on Bitcoin payment. Oh, yeah, that's the coin tree. The coin tree, for some reason, is bugged. I don't know if it's their website or just my page, but I'm sorry, you can't send super chats through coin tree. In fact, I should remove the link because, for some reason, the website is not working for my page. I'm sorry about this, but if you want to send Bitcoin, you can send them through the link at the bottom. You'll see that my crypto addresses are in the description. Sorry about this. I do have to find a super chat crypto option, but CoinTree has not been delivering. I've been setting up my page and everything, and then people click on donate, and it leads to nothing. Dead Star says, you review Zero Hedge articles daily. Do you have any contact with the people who run the site? Do they know of your existence? Maybe you could write an article for them. Maybe I could at some point. I know that Coach Red Pill had been writing for Zero Hedge at some point. But no, I have no contact in this team. I don't know who they are. I just highly appreciate their collection of subject interest. It really fits my interest. It's all alternative thinking about the economy, politics, internet-based thinking. And it fits my personality like nothing else on the internet. So that's why I always converge back to, well, every day I look at Zero Hedge. I take lots of news from Twitter, but I always check Zero Hedge because they tend to have some things that will bring my attention to a subject I may not have thought about if I didn't go there. So yes, maybe one day I can write for Zero Hedge, but it would be a single article. It would have to be something that I find super important because I have so many opportunities with interviews and my show to lay out my thinking on almost everything, and it's a great privilege, but I don't feel the need to write something about on a regular basis. But perhaps there will be one big subject. Perhaps I could write about crypto, about some developments, or perhaps one day I could write about something that I find super important related to genetic editing or something like this. John Drake says, I wonder if the Russians will liberate Coach when they take Kiev. Kiev. Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's much hope for our friend Coach Red Pill. He's been kidnapped by the Ukrainians, and I don't see any hope for his liberation. He will be judged by an extremely harsh and martial type of government. I don't expect justice from him. But at least in his persecution and in his martyrdom, he will have exposed something about Ukraine, which is the hypocrisy of those who claim that Ukraine is the forefront of Western liberation against tyranny. No, it's like you are tyranny. Coach Red Pill was a man who who got his rights violated by these college leftists, who was accused with false allegations from these college leftists and LGBT activists of his time, which we wouldn't even have called LGBT activists then. But fascinatingly, he finds himself at the forefront of the Western and Eastern war between America and Russia, and he is still persecuted by essentially a college leftist type of personality in this this trans spokesperson that the Ukrainian side has. Stephen Robinson says, my stream has sent itself back in time 5 minutes, three times in the past 15 minutes. Well, you want to check all of your computer. You might want to secure your computer, Stephen, because you just talked to me about a link to a virus. You might want to reinstall Google Chrome, check with an antivirus your computer, update Google Chrome, everything. Democratic Sanctuary City mayors beg Biden for bailout amid worsening migrant crisis. Democratic mayors from Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, and I have difficulty saying these names tonight. Los Angeles and New York are feeling the financial pressure as their cities have been swamped with hundreds of thousands of migrants bussed in from the southern border. These mayors have asked President Biden in a letter urgently requesting federal support and resources, citing the significant strain on their city budgets. That is the perfect situation, but we have to be in a situation where they can expect no help from the federal government. And unfortunately, the Democrats will probably be there to write checks to these cities. But the unsustainability of their attitude toward immigration has been demonstrated now. So now we have to let them go bankrupt. If you don't let these places go bankrupt, if you don't let these citizens who vote for these kinds of governments that will be infinitely giving to the other, then you never really make a case for the unsustainability because you save everything that's unsustainable. This is where natural selection is important to understand and to respect. If you don't let the natural selection happen, then you have leftist voters who never really get feedback on the fact that their societal project is unsustainable and impossible to implement. And they collectivize and they collectivize and they drain the energy from the rest of the nation by having these federal grants that come to save them. Let these places go to rot. Let these places disappear, bankrupt, and be unable to give any services to their population. They have to pay the price of their decision. I'm the stranger you lock eyes with at the airport and imagine a life together. Holy shit, Tiffany Gomez is going strong. Look at this, the crazy plain lady, ladies and gentlemen. A marketing specialist has decided to turn the viral fame around her into an opportunity for I don't know, for modeling leather jackets. And she says, I'm the stranger you lock eyes with at the airport and imagine a life together. And it's like Steven Robinson says, would, sure, you would have to, but holy shit, would you regret this? This is schizophrenia in a package for you. You're going to be in trouble once she starts believing that you're a ghost and that you are you are not real. You are not a real motherfucker. And so my advice to you guys is do not lock eyes with her. Thank Papa JF later for saving you from that bullet. Steven Robinson says, just one time. Ah, well, she will have her ways. She will have her ways to bring you back, Steven Robinson. She's going to have some sweet talk for you, saying, hey, there's a hex pump coming, darling. Come back to me. The Richard Hart is going to not be sued by the SEC anymore. They're going to drop the suit. Come with me, Steven Robinson, just a second time. Stephanie Gomez is a woman to be avoided, my friend. Man joins a pro-Israel rally at McGill. Oh, that is a place where I know this place. I've never really been studying at McGill, but as a university guy, in Montreal. Of course, it was the alternative Anglophone university. And yeah, sometimes I would just walk in this area and see the Jews studying. Not a particularly interesting university to me. Always very cold woman there. I never felt part of the McGill tradition. But this guy is quite genius. He goes in there and they're all singing songs to support Israel. And he has his own ID for a song.
I'd like to offer another chant. Kill more Palestinian children! Kill more Palestinian children! Kill more Palestinian children! Kill more Palestinians! Don't touch me!
Oh, you can see the lady with her Israeli flag. Oh, he's saying we're doing this? Yeah, it's what you're doing. Look at this.
Kill more Palestinian children! Kill more Palestinian children! Kill more
They're like, no.
Palestinian children! Kill more Palestinians! Don't touch me!
No!
Kill more Palestinian children!
No!
Kill more Palestinian children!
Oh my god, the phenotypes, my friend. You can see it right here.
Kill more Palestinian children! 4,000 is not enough!
4,000 is not enough.
4,000 Palestinian children is not enough! Kill more children!
This guy may be a based Arab among the crowd. He's nodding. He's like, yeah, 4,000 is not enough. Oh my god, it's so great to see these women be told the consequences of their ideology in the real world. Oh my god, I love this guy who filmed this. Meanwhile, we have a man who finds his mother completely in pieces, blown by an Israeli rocket. He is distraught, of course, the consequences of war, very emotional. What is happening to Palestinians should serve as a case study to off-gridists. Humans can't live in a vacuum. We can only live in a territory with resources. Land is a commodity. I don't think that is the right takeaway from the Palestinian situation. I don't think the Palestinian situation shows that off-grid living is ultimately going to bring hostility toward you. I believe that one of the components of proper of grid living is to make sure that you are living in a place that no one wants, that is so left over from humanity that no one will ever annoy you. That is the first key to off-grid living. Of course, if you're doing off-grid living by the 2 million population of Gaza and you are gathering in a place that is highly contested with other civilizations that want it, then that's not off-grid living. That's just living with not much means, but in a fundamentally looked after place of the earth. If you're talking about really going off-grid, you're talking about fleeing to a place that no one crosses your path ever because no one cares about this piece of land. He says, I understand that most of gridists want to have even less tech than Palestinians do, but having less tech doesn't make the problem go away. No matter how primitive your tech is, you still need a territory with resources. Native Americans lived with tech being as primitive as possible. Their societies were destroyed primarily because their land was desired by the people with more advanced tech. The Amish are not safe from the system. It's just that they turn to be villainized by the media and attacked with weapons of war. Their turn to be villainized by the media and attacked with weapons of war has not yet come. It is indeed possible to descend further down the list of groups to be destroyed by making your group less capable of fighting back, either by reducing the tech your group has access to, or by reducing the number of people in your group, or by making your group more docile, less willing to engage in self-defense. But your group will still be on the list, and when its turns come, it will have very little to no capability to defend itself. And many of groups who could have been your ally against the system will already be destroyed by that time. There is a limit to this kind of thinking. And the limit is this only works if you believe that the human technocracy will eventually dominate every single inch of this earth. And it really doesn't have to, because the human technocracy is stuck with its own internal contradiction, its tendency to seek highly dense places. Like, you see how human technocracy has essentially succeeded at populating and covering the most of the surface in very small areas that become these big cities. You know, a big city is a very small place. When you look at it from a Canadian or United States perspective, there are much places that we have left uncolonized to nature. And that's because this particular lifestyle of dense living has its limits. It cannot take over every inch of the earth. And because it cannot take over every inch of the earth, there is always a place to run to. Now, when you want to be a survivalist or an Amish, you're going to have to exclude yourself. You're going to have to look for the places strategically. But it's not an unviable scenario because there is no sign that anyone will ever need what the Amish have. And even when they do, the Amish will just be pushed further away and they will find some other place to continue their lifestyle. So I don't think that is a correct analysis of the Palestinian situation. Hezbollah escalates rocket attacks amid reports that Russia could supply anti-air system. Since the start of the Gaza war in the wake of the October 7th Hamas terror raids, Israel's northern border has suffered almost daily rocket attacks, mainly from Hezbollah out of South Lebanon. However, the conflict there has been by and large contained thus far, despite limited daily exchanges of fire. But now there are 25 rockets and mortars that have been fired in a simultaneous attack on northern Israel. This reportedly included attacks on some 19 separate Israeli positions. Israel's military subsequently confirmed there were a number of launches out of Lebanon. And yes, I think it's going to be important to determine if the Muslim side of this conflict gets access to air defense, some anti-air system missiles, so that they can counter the air raids against them. If they can't have this, it's just going to be a very crude war of attrition. And now we hear that Gaza is completely encircled. And so now it relies on the ability of the Palestinian resistance to survive an encirclement and war of attrition. Richard Spencer was publishing this guy who was memeing a lot because, oh my God, is he, someone was titling this video Least Annoying Israeli.
Hey, fake woke Americans. Guess who actually...
You could actually do this as parody. Like, you could actually open up a video like, hey, fake woke Americans.
Hey, fake woke Americans. Guess who actually lives on stolen land? You do. Guess who actually lives on stolen land? You do. You do. You do. Me, Jew, you do. Me, Jew, you do. You live on stolen land.
Hey. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Fundamentally, the idea of stolen land, I don't use it ever seriously. Sometimes I can quote information about this or positions that people have taken. But personally, stolen land is a concept that relies on a sense of property to begin with. I think it's fallacious to start with. The idea of stolen land. So you're saying that someone was there before it belongs to him. I don't like this, you know, because in nature, there is no legal paper that or system of exchange that would allow you to claim that a tribe, for example, or a nation even, has the legitimate claim to a land. It exists. These claims to property exist because of our behavioral instincts. And of course, we have the behavioral instinct to think, well, whoever was there first will fight me if I try to take it from them. That is a nice instinct, and it exists in nature. But it's not fundamentally true. It's just so. It's just the way monkeys behave with one another. And then you have the legal concept of property, which really just works within a society. It works when there's a citizen beside me and he's my equal and I sold him my car and then he has a claim on this car because we both would submit to the law that makes it theft if he didn't pay me. That is the sense in which property exists, both at the natural level and at the societal level. But neither the natural nor the societal level makes it a truthful claim to say, well, the Native American had the ownership of the whole of America. They were there and they have their right to exist. And yes, we took a lot of space from them. Which may have limited their expansion, may have limited their ability to pursue their lifestyle. And yes, it fits the definition of a genocide. But the idea that of stolen land, the idea that like, at what density is it their land? If there was a single Native American in America, You certainly wouldn't say that the whole of the Americas belong to that man. So at what degree of density of defense are you justified in claiming a land to be your property? Well, might is right in the end, and in the end, it's whatever density is needed to effectively defend that territory. Now, this line of thinking is what the Israelis are urgently trying to bring to our attention. Do you realize that you are on stolen land? But when you see the weakness of this argument is when you complete the sentence. That's a trick that I would give if you have an argument out there and it sounds kind of reasonable and you want to know, really, is it sound? Complete the sentence. You live on stolen land, therefore what? You live on stolen land, therefore I can steal further land? You live on stolen land, therefore someone else stole that land, by the way. I didn't steal America. Someone else stole that land. Suppose that we grant the premise of stolen land. Someone else stole it. I live on it. Okay, so what? You're entitled to now bomb babies because I live on stolen land? You're entitled to do further theft of lands because it happened before and therefore it has to happen after? All of these are fallacies. They are the fallacies of continuation, the natural fallacy, and a couple of others. So the fallacy of continuation being, well, it happened before, and so we might as well do it still. Therefore, it's good to continue doing it. None of these arguments are valid, and they are certainly not valid to justify the current behavior of Israel, because Israel is not telling us, hey, we are leading a fight for existence, and we want to expand our existence into Gaza, which is what they're truly doing. But they are deceptively pursuing this anti-terrorist campaign and hurting civilian populations in parallel to supposedly pursuing that goal. So that goal is first and foremost already deceptive. And secondly, their strikes are in violation of the rules of war. And every rule that America has tried to apply at times didn't apply it, and in those cases, it justified criticism of America. But even Russia applies those rules of war. And yet, the Israelis are clearly not doing everything in their power to limit civilian casualties. So I said, I have this odd feeling since the last few days that the whole guilting of white civilization may have been undertaken by Israelis just to create a moral equivalence as a justification for the atrocities they were about to commit. Every time my mind flirts with the idea, however, I go, really? You've done all of this for a little civilizational gotcha? Because that's what this guy is putting in our face. Gotcha! You have benefited from genocide, therefore I can do my own genocide. This reminds me of Halsey. This was pushed by Halsey on this show a long time ago, this kind of perspective. This whole perspective of, hey, you guys have genocided the Native Americans. The world is all about might is right. And that's what we're trying to do in Israel. And it's a legitimate thing. I knew that this argument would one day be used because Halsey is straight connected to the Israeli channel, you know. So if he brought it up, I knew that this was the mentality of the pro-Israeli. Yeah, maybe I should go talk with Halsey. It's been a while that I haven't spoken with the man, but perhaps we should have a Halsey JF. Israel-Palestine debate. Wouldn't it be fun? I think I would do this one. Very often now I don't like interacting and having guests or having debates. But talking to my old friend Halsey and knowing how much of an Israeli he is, wouldn't that be a fun thing? Zionist woman tells pro-Palestine Jewish protesters that they should be put in gas chambers and that Hitler made a mistake. Okay, there is a it's a very layered situation here. So she's going to tell two Jews. But they are Jews that are pro-Palestine. And she's going to say, you should have been Holocausted. But if they had been Holocausted, the other Jews would have been Holocausted too. And they wouldn't have been able to create Israel. So it's kind of a bad argument, but let's see what she has to say. What is she? Is she Jewish? And she's so into this gas chamber meme that it's her way to attack Israelis? Or is she just a pro-Jewish Christian? I don't know. But it's a very, very bad argument. And I disavow this argument. It's a very bad thing to say. Just because you found a couple of Jews who are pro-Palestine to wish them harm is absolutely unacceptable. A big diss on the upcoming sanction package by Putin. Putin here is mocking the sanction package because I think he's saying basically that if you can spare us the toxic American products, it's all good for me.
Просто доходит до абсурда. Вот тоже это, знаете, уважаемые коллеги, предлагают запретить ввоз в Россию отверток, иголок и так далее. Но чем меньше барахла, тем, может быть, даже и лучше. Меньше шансов, что из крупных европейских...
Less chances that one of the mega cities of the U.S. will export to us their bed bugs. So Putin seeing the sanctions as an opportunity to not be invaded by the cockroaches of the big city. I love this guy. Judge orders a new election in Connecticut town after surveillance video showed ballot stuffing in drop boxes. That this happened here is beyond reasonable doubt. The only question is how common it is. Well, yeah, so they kept saying there is no evidence of blah, blah, blah. But here's a case where there was very clear evidence of fraud. And yes, I agree with Elon. We should wonder how much of this is happening, how much of this is influencing the nation's outcome. A Bridgeport election overturned after a city official pleads the fifth to ballot harvesting. Wanda Getter Pataki committing ballot fraud. Footage showed her vice chair of the Bridgeport Democratic Town Committee and operations specialist for the city, stuffing ballot drop boxes. She comes back. I love that she comes back, but her whole circle of deception is captured by the camera. It's like, yeah, she had more votes to stuff. What? She comes back again? She's just getting away from the camera angle. Look at this. At 6:38, She makes her third deposit. And now our bag is empty. Our bag. One, two drops. And now she's gotten rid of the bag. That was all she had to deposit. All right. Well, well, well. This time she sends an employee to make a fourth deposit while she watched. Yeah, you can't. The cities are going to shit. You can't have basic democracy functioning even. Even democracy itself is crap. But dysfunctional democracy is even worse, because then it's really just a bunch of fraudulent people who will take over the power in your nation. Governor Gavin Newsom, this will be our last news item. He does his best Joe Biden imitation to prove that he is president material and ready to replace Biden. Look at the Biden. This was for Halloween, of course. Gavin Newsom was trying to act and dress as Joe Biden. Perfect, perfect execution. Best Halloween costume of the year. Oh, and I forgot to check the super chats. Silver XV sent $15 on Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, should I ditch a girl who told me she has herpes after we had sex? Can I trust her in the future when she didn't realize she should have told me beforehand she's ready to get impregnated? This shouldn't be a deal breaker in and of itself. Of course, you have to take this sign into consideration of the whole. So the okay, she betrayed you, but she then admitted to you. So it means that she has some capacity for kind of self-shaming or realizing her wrongs. And so perhaps she's good. If though this is combined with an attitude that is dismissive of you, and if it's combined with leftism and feminism, and she shows a dozen red flags, that is worrying. So you have to approach it this way. There she is with her herpes and ready to be impregnated. Herpes is not a massively dangerous thing. It will not threaten your children's life. And it will go away, you know, eventually. So the question is, can you get better? Like, if you were to go away from her and go onto the market, you would have a low-quality female also who may have herpes and then some. So you have to wait. What is my option here and what is my alternative? Your alternative is the average expectation value of the woman you could grab after her. Most likely, if she just has this herpes event and she just was dishonest to you, but then apologized for it and made up for it, then if that's just this without any other red flag, she could be a good candidate and you should go for insemination. If it stacks up with other red flags that makes you believe that your average date in the future could be better than her, then drop her and go for the expected value of the random shoot. The random shoot in the dark of dating. But, you know, consider in your calculation that dating means a lot of false positives, means a lot of women who are not seriously into pregnancy. You know, you may be single for the next year, for the next 2 years, for the next 3 years, just trying to find a woman who's ready to get pregnant. So if she's there and ready to get pregnant, that is a valuable asset that you should consider inseminating. Those are the rules of rationality, ladies and gentlemen. Spray and pray and fend off the herpes with this kind of move. Away, herpes, virus of the devil. We'll be right back.